Welcome to the Cyclomatic Fogcast.
It's Friday. It's after work.
And this is the Cyclone Fanatic Fogcast. Get my geek on. The Cyclone Fanatic Fogcast is presented by Iowa's most recommended real estate agent, Mark Charter.
Now, hear this.
No other agent in Iowa offers more when you buy or sell your home through Mark Charter, including a customizable commission plan when you list your home. You choose 5, 6, or 7%. Read more about Mark Charter and see why he is Iowa's most recommended realtor at Trulia.com and MarkCharter.com.
This is how we roll.
And now, please welcome your hosts, Mark Charter, Chris Williams, and Adam Gray.
What's up, Cyclone Nation? Welcome to this week's podcast on a Thursday. Doesn't matter if it's the Friday After Work podcast on a Thursday because our brand is bigger than any day of the week. Adam Gray, what's up?
Just happy to be here, Chris. Looking forward to the Big 12 tournament.
Good.
Selection Sunday.
Mark Charter.
Yo.
Did you bring any of your lovely friends this week?
No friends.
How did
Can I say hi to Brandy, though?
Yeah, how did Brandy stomach last week's podcast? I think she did a really nice job. She came off as very likable. She brought me
likable to you guys.
Yeah.
Well, she does nothing but rips me on Twitter. You guys follow that?
Are you guys still friends?
I don't know,
I think that's why she's so likable.
She says that she brings you gifts. She says that you guys are invited to her place to play shuffleboard. I'm not. So I don't know. I don't know where that relationship is.
She wouldn't even have that place if it weren't for you.
Actually, I didn't help her buy it.
Oh.
Yeah. I did sell her. So it is true, though. I did sell her home. So that's true.
You are Iowa's most recommended realtor.
Darn straight.
Is Rob Gray going to let you sell his house?
Sounds like it.
All right, good.
I ran into him at Hilton, and he said he thinks he has his wife convinced. So,
well, what convincing does there need to be? I mean,
there was apparently a family friend somewhere in there that also sells real estate.
Some riffraff in there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But as they say, my friend, the cream rises to the top.
Yeah.
So I view myself as the cream. Just saying.
What kind of cream? Like a whipped cream? Whatever
kind
like
you
like. Like a cream of mushroom?
No.
Chicken?
No.
Like a half and half?
Cream of mushroom's gross. So
I don't think I've ever had cream of mushroom.
You've had it in some sort of...
I avoid it at all costs. I mean, I like mushrooms and I love cream. It doesn't make any sense.
Oh.
Yeah, anyways. What's up, guys? It's a good time. It's a good time of year. The Big 12 tournament's next week. We got a little, final weekend of the regular season coming up.
Mm-hmm.
The spring, so it's supposed to be like 70 in Kansas City next week. I'm going to bring my Speedo. It's going to be awesome.
You know, I'm actually, as an Iowa State fan, I'm a little saddened by the season for me. And I want to ask how the Oklahoma game was. I'm going to have to live the Oklahoma-Hilton game through you, Chris, because so far these are the Iowa State games I've been able to attend. I got two little kids at home. I coach Jake in basketball. Haven't been able to make it to as many games as Hilton this year as normal.
Okay.
I went and watched us beat up on Drake. Crappy game. I went to the Texas Tech game. Crappy game. And then the last two games I went, we choke against Baylor. I go down to Kent State, take the family down there, choke against there. I'm saying I'm done. I'm not going to another Iowa State game again. The very next game, maybe the most epic comeback in Iowa State history, and I'm not there.
Do you remember,
the record, I was there as well.
You were there.
I was.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
I met Mark's friend. What was your friend's name?
John.
John, good guy. Good guy was John.
Did you take John or did John take you?
John took me.
Okay.
Yeah, John's in our golf league, by the way.
Oh,
that's what we're talking about, John Wilson.
Yeah.
Yep.
So how was it there? Was it as loud as it seemed on TV? Because on TV, it came across great in the second half.
I was
jealous that I wasn't there.
The loudest I think that I had heard it prior to that game was Iowa last year when Gasell went to the line for some free throws at the end of the game. That was really, really loud. The difference in this game was it got really, really loud multiple times all the way along the comeback, every three-pointer. So it was probably equal to as loud as I've heard it. It was just, you're watching this thing and it's kind of like, it seemed comical almost.
I was surprised I didn't have any angry texts from you in that first half.
It makes sense
why.
Because he was there.
Well, I was there and Hilton's like a reinforced bunker.
Oh, yeah.
So
okay, that makes sense.
Good luck with your phone. But, you know, everybody in the first half was kind of like, okay, that just happened. Now this game will go one of two ways. We'll either come back and win it, which seemed improbable, or we'll lose by 40, which seemed more probable,
yeah,
frankly, based on the lack of effort in the first half. But it was just unbelievable, the fact that we could score every trip down the floor, literally for a long time, yeah, every trip down the floor. And Oklahoma could not score any trips. To do that in basketball and go on at, what, 22-0, 21-0
run? 22-0
run. What are the odds of that?
It was
they're minuscule.
I think the whole run together was like 31-4.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It was a different type of loud. I hear it loud in there a lot, but it's always like built up to one moment. You know, before the Kansas game, people were loud because they were excited. The Iowa game, like you're talking about, they were loud because of a specific moment in the game where they knew they had to be loud, the free throws. On Monday was a different type of loud because it was completely organic, you know, because it was, I mean, you had 14,000 people there who were down in the dumps who are not only thinking, man, we're getting throttled, but the season's pretty much over. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you guys, but after that first half, I'm thinking,
this team's lost.
Yeah, they've completely cashed it in.
I was like, less excited for the Big 12 tourney.
Yeah,
like sitting
that
there.
That type of thing.
Yeah,
people had cashed out.
Yep.
And, you know, as it is with Iowa State, and especially in that building, you cut the lead to 15. People are getting on their feet. Cut it to 12. Wow, this is really manageable. You get it down within 10. And it was just this slow crescendo. And then at the end, man, I mean, it was – that was as loud as I've ever heard it there. I think that I could go back to that Texas game in like 2005, if you remember. I think it was it Chris Mim at the free throw line? It was something like that. I don't even remember. Wayne Morgan I think Texas was like number 5 or number 3. It was really loud there. The Iowa game last year was insane.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, about every time Kansas comes to town, there are loud moments. But I don't remember anything quite like Monday.
So I had a meeting earlier today with a customer, and he said that he's never stood that long straight at an Iowa State game. Usually, you know, at timeouts, you kind of sit down, you'll calm. He said he stood pretty much most of the second half, and he goes, I was so tired from cheering that I thought there was maybe like a minute or 2 minutes left to go in the game, and I looked up at the clock and there's still 10 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Because the comeback came
that
so
was
quickly.
The most amazing thing. You thought this was going to take the whole half, and it didn't.
It took 3 minutes and 17 seconds. They went on a 17-0 run.
My friend John has really, really good bad seats. And what I mean by that is they're balcony seats, but they're first row in the balcony.
Great seats.
Which is perfect. Not only that, like these seats are, they appeal to me the more I go with him. They're not only in the front row, so as the comeback's coming, I'm doing like forward air thrust punches.
Oh, I bet.
Because like, there's nobody in front of you, you know, so you can just like whip your arms around and not hit anybody. And then they're right next to a stairway. So literally hop out down the stairs. Right outside the stairs is the bathroom and the concession stand. So you can leave your seats, be down in the bathroom within 30 seconds, take a leak, back in your seats, not miss a thing.
It's big time.
Yeah, grab a soda, the whole deal. So they're actually pretty good seats.
Yeah, it was.
Even though they're not quite what I'm used to.
That was one game where I kind of wish that I could have just not worked and just been in the stands and just enjoyed it.
Just going crazy.
You know, that's a game where you just want to sit back and watch. You don't want to tweet. You don't want to take notes. Nothing like. You just need to appreciate it for what it is. And that's why I was getting pissed off at Iowa fans on Twitter. If you go back throughout the game, I was going at it with some Iowa fans, and Ross and I talked about this on the air the other day. And it's just like I don't care like where you're at on a rivalry or whatever. Like I would like to think that sports fans could sit and watch that and just take it for what it is. It was an amazing comeback, mm-hmm. an incredible atmosphere. It was fun. That's why we love sports. And I'll never forget that night.
So a Cyclone hater would look at that game and say, oh yeah, but look how badly you played versus what a comeback.
Yeah, and I would come back to that and say most teams would just bury their heads. And
Yeah.
That team, I still don't – you remember that column I wrote, you can't trust this team?
No,
I wrote that a long time, and I still believe that. But I think they showed us something heart-wise on Monday night.
Well, you said it. Fun.
Yeah.
I think you saw the difference in the team in the first half and in the second half. They were having fun. I mean, even when they got – I think they – when Monte hit the three to take it to a 12-point game and Kruger called the timeout, Fred and them, they were chest bumping. They were smiling. They were talking. They were having fun. I was down at Kansas State. Even when Iowa State was up in the second half by as many as 12, 13 points, I never looked at them and said, man, they're really having fun out there.
Everybody was having fun except one player.
Bryce.
Yep.
Yeah, that and that's.
Has he checked out mentally? Is he gone?
No, I won't say that because I think that Bryce is the type where if he would go out against TCU and hit a three, and you know the first minute Fred puts him in there, he'd be right back there. So no, I don't think so, and I think it's a.
He's pouting.
Absolutely, he is. Pouting. There's no
There's
no doubt about that. But my old deal is he's clearly talented. He was National Player of the Week earlier this year.
Yeah.
Fred, I guarantee you this week, one of Fred's biggest missions is to get Bryce back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, get him back engaged because like, I don't care. I know he's pouty and I know people want him to smile more or whatever. Two things. One, this is not the type of guy he's ever going to be. He's never going to be George. He's never going to be Naz. He's never going to act like that. So you need to get that in your head. Two, he can still help the team win. Defensively, rebounding wise, he's not going to be their second leading scorer down the stretch, so don't expect that. But he can still do things to help the team win. So Fred's number one job right now is to get that young man engaged.
I agree. I think Iowa State can make the Sweet 16 without Bryce having a big role.
Yeah.
But if they would go to the Final Four, which every Iowa State fan, that's the goal. They want Mark Charter to take him to the Final Four.
Absolutely.
Right.
They need Bryce.
I couldn't agree more.
They need him. So.
What was the situation though with him not really playing at all in the second half? And I don't buy it like he wasn't into it in the first half because nobody was. Nobody was playing that great in the first half.
I think it was they got on that roll and Fred went with the hot hands and he hasn't been hot, you know, like Bryce is, he's like 0 for his last 7. He hasn't scored since the Baylor game. He only had 6 in that game. And I mean, realistically, the only reason Thomas and Nader got in the game is because George and Dustin were in foul trouble. So I really think that's what it was. And he's the eighth man at that point.
Yep.
He was almost a liability at that. And the guys were doing so, like Fred didn't call a play in the second half. I mean, they were playing street ball out there. They're just running up and down the floor and shooting.
And that's what Fran was saying.
Yeah. I don't putting Bryce in that situation with that much freedom and the state of mind he's in, I think that's why he didn't play.
One of the good trade-offs too, even if he's not playing as well or playing as much is Maddie has apparently figured it out.
Yeah.
Finally. Which is, all of us all year have been saying he's a great player, great shooter.
Yeah.
You know, it seemed like it was mental for him.
Yep.
And the last few games I've seen him play, 3-4 games, I mean, he's played great. It's not shooting perfect,
but a hell of a lot better. He's engaged all over the place, too. Yeah,
hell of a lot better, though. So that's what you need this time of year.
Yeah, and at least now Matt's hitting enough shots where if you put him out there, I mean, you've got to guard him. You've got to give him your attention defensively. And I think that's the whole point of him. He's not out there for his defense. He's not out there for penetration.
He doesn't look over his head anymore. He doesn't look scared. The scared look on Matt's face when he'd go for a jump shot, I think it's completely gone. So even if he misses it, you're like, you know what? That was a good look. He shot that with confidence. I'm okay with that.
And Monday, too, was fun to see. George was at his best.
Oh.
I mean, George was having a lot of fun out there in the second half.
Yeah.
Draining shots, just taking people off the dribble.
Mm-hmm.
It was just – and my buddy John, I was sitting right next to him, he's a big basketball guy. And he was calling stuff before it even developed. He's like, George, he can't guard you. He can't guard you. Take it. George, just take it right around the, you know, height advantage, whatever. So it was hopefully Iowa State has lost for the last time this year. Unlikely, but hopefully. But I think they needed that, man. There's no more we didn't come ready to play. There's no more, you know, just whatever. We'll figure it out. That time is gone, and that might have been the best thing that happened to this team because now they know even if they get down, they can come back, and that might happen in the tournament. So.
Yeah, I think Saturday is interesting because
– yeah, you do not want that step back.
No, and – it's a tricky game, too, because TCU is like 4-13 in the league, but they play that stupid style.
High school gym.
Yeah, the high school. I don't think that Iowa State's guys are going to show up not ready. It's just that's an opponent that they're still not very good, but they've gotten significantly better.
Yeah.
And they've scared some teams. They've beaten some good teams. It's just weird game.
They should have beat Kansas earlier in the year.
There's a lot of games like that for TCU where they're just right there. And that style of ball that they play, it keeps them close. And I mojo-wise is what I'm worried about because it's very easy for Iowa State to go down there and score 60 points on Saturday. And, like, things are flowing so well right now. I don't want to see that.
Does Iowa State have enough of an incentive as it comes to the Big 12 tournament where they're seated when they play to really care about the game from that perspective only. So we win, we're a 2, well, we lose, we're a 4, and where they would potentially meet Kansas, et cetera, because you want to meet Kansas in the championship round.
I would disagree with that.
Yeah. You want to meet them earlier? I would have Kansas gone?
I'd rather, you know what, I'd rather play Oklahoma, or I'd rather play Kansas than Oklahoma.
I'd rather play Kansas than Oklahoma or Baylor.
Yeah, I would agree
because
with that.
Because Kansas, probably, I don't think Perry Ellis is going to play in the Big 12 tournament.
I don't know. It reads like he's going to, but who knows? You don't know.
That hurt him last year. He was not out.
But, Embiid was.
Embiid was out. Yeah, that hurt them.
And Self was just playing mind games with us the whole time down there on if Joel Embiid would play. I just – Cliff Alexander's probably not going to be out there.
Yeah.
He's not a huge factor against Iowa State. At least he hasn't been, but he's still a lottery pick. I like the matchups better.
I do too.
Against Kansas than I do either one of those teams.
Yeah. Now, Baylor, I would rather face Baylor than Oklahoma because we've lost twice to Baylor.
Yeah, and the odds are I'd put my money on Hoiberg in round 3 after losing to him twice. But I don't know. Something about Oklahoma just scares the bejesus out of me, and it has all year.
Yeah.
I mean, it took the second biggest comeback in school history to win in Hilton against that team. They're well coached. They've got scores. They've got bodies.
One thing that I think people overlook in that whole comeback was just how good McKay was in that entire game. Not only in just the second half, but you can make a case that Oklahoma's got the best bigs in the Big 12, can't you, with Spangler and Thomas?
Yeah, I think so.
And you look at their stats, McKay, he did a phenomenal job on defense. He's the only guy that scored for Iowa State in the first half, the only one getting buckets. I still think if right now Jameel McKay is our best player in Big 12 play. Consistently, every game he brings it. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't really think there's a lot of conversation either.
Well, Monte's been great. George has been hit or miss. George has either been really good or he's had some struggles.
Naz has been a little hit or miss.
Yeah, Naz has been hit or
miss. Naz has digressed a little bit, but I don't think it's a bad – I think it's classic Naz. I mean, he's just going to disappear for 5 games, and then he's going to have 3 that are just huge.
Yeah. He could come out this Saturday and hit 5 threes easily. So you run with it.
Yeah.
But McKay brings energy more than anything else.
He's just a whole new level.
Like,
different.
You feel it. Yeah. Like, when he checks into the game, you just
– watching him sprint up and down the floor.
You just feel it. It's
Yeah.
He's a leader. He's that kind of prick leader we've been missing. He's starting to turn into that guy a little bit. When the team's not doing very good, he's sitting there saying, hey, get going.
He thought he was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar there for a short period in that game. Like, 4 straight possessions. He's doing sky hooks and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, all right. Is that what we need? But
good stuff. What about you, Mark? You didn't answer the question you asked us about who would you rather play.
In the Big 12 tournament? I feel differently for different reasons, though. I don't look at it from the Gray's X's and O's standpoint and your journalistic tilt. I look at it from the perspective of, I was saying before we came on here, this time of year that we're in right now is my favorite time of the year. And for a number of reasons, the weather is breaking in the right direction, literally tomorrow. I go down to Kansas City every year. It's a great atmosphere down there. Whether Iowa State's playing good or not, people are just jacked to be there. You know, we've escaped the cold. So I just look to go have a good time and see a good game. So for me, that ideal matchup is KU Iowa State in the championship game.
That'd be amazing. The atmosphere would just be off the
charts. Downside is we've just come off this amazing experience last year where we turned it into Hilton South. Now, if Kansas is in it, it's not happening. Because last year, Kansas fans dumped their tickets. Iowa State fans bought them. Picked them up.
Yeah.
This year it'd be Kansas would have way more fans there than we would.
I'd say like 70-30.
Yeah. I mean, we'd still be there strong.
60-40
maybe. But it would be totally different. Now, if I want to win the Big 12 tournament, my hope is that Kansas is eliminated before we get a play-in, because I think it'll be easier to defeat anybody else other than Kansas, because that is a home crowd for Kansas. Just is. They play those intro videos for the teams, you know, and they show Kansas's national championships and all that garbage, and fans go crazy. So, I don't know. Selfish reasons.
I think that you're just a little bit underestimating Iowa State's crowd support next week. And the only reason I say that is from everything I'm hearing, like a lot of those southern schools that don't sell a lot of tickets, Iowa State has bought them up.
Yeah.
So Kansas is still going to have more.
Yeah,
no question.
There's no question that 1-2, Kansas is number one as far as fan support down there.
Yeah.
Because of location, we're number two. No question.
Even above Kansas State.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I've never got the feeling that Kansas State fans are all that passionate. And Kansas State fans would beat me up and say, of course we are. But not compared to KU.
No.
Not compared to KU at all.
They don't like their team. They don't like Bruce Weber. They're pretty much cashed out.
When we played them last year in the first round, Kansas State had a nice crowd. It was a very good crowd.
It was okay.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't. Iowa State had more. But I think, I'm trying to remember back to the Iowa State-Kansas game, but I almost want to feel like it was 60-40 last year.
Yeah, no, there were a lot of Iowa State fans.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
It wasn't where you looked at it and said, man, this is going to be a tough road environment for Iowa State.
I remember Iowa State fans being incredibly loud
that game. Well, we had a lot to cheer for.
This is true.
Because we kicked their ass.
This is true.
It'd be nice to win that thing a couple years in a row, though. That'd be fantastic. Like I was saying earlier in the year, I would rather win the tournament than the league.
There's
many people out there like, that's dumb or whatever.
No, it's not dumb. It's momentum. I get your argument.
It's momentum. You know, going into the tournament, that's where you want to be playing hot. Look at UConn last year. Had a lot of momentum.
You still get a banner.
Yeah.
Do you get a banner for the conference tournament?
Oh, I'm sure.
No idea.
I'm sure you do.
You
get a trophy.
The regular season title is I think it's a better mark for the program long term, but I totally understand your point.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a lot of sense.
So, FYI to anybody listening, we will, unless Gray wusses out or something, be doing a Fawcast next week from Kansas City.
This is true.
So I'm excited for that.
I'm going to pack up all the equipment.
I'm really hoping we're talking about an Iowa State victory on Thursday night. versus a loss. We'll do it anyway, but, you know.
Yeah, the lost one would suck.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be a whole lot of fun.
Yeah. We'll assume we're going to do a podcast unless Gray.
I'll be there.
Unless Gray and Williams pack up their stuff at home.
I'm not going anywhere. I'll just have to be back in Des Moines by 4:00.
By showtime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as long as you guys can get up at a decent hour, you're not too hungover.
If Iowa State wins, you're not coming back to Des Moines on Friday for the show.
No. I'm doing the show from Kansas City.
Are you?
Booyah. Live remote.
Yeah. No, 14:30 out of Ames. They're broadcasting live from Kansas, and we're owned by the same company.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to use their equipment, I think. I think that's how it's going to work out.
So Ross will still be back up here in Des Moines?
Yeah.
I got you. Okay. Yep.
Ross is used to doing a show without a visible partner in the same room.
This is true.
No problem for him.
Ross isn't going to – where's the Big Ten at? Chicago? Indianapolis?
Chicago.
He's not going to Chicago?
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. Watch that.
There's some day where I think my only experience with postseason tournaments is the Big 12. I'll be up front with that. I've gone many years. I love it. I have a lot of fun. But I have no concept whatsoever of the Big Ten. Never been, probably won't go, at least anytime soon. But my question is the Big Ten tournament in any way equivalent to the Big 12 tournament? Is there like a huge home favorite there? Because they do it in Chicago. The closest team would be Northwestern, who has no fan base whatsoever. So is it just kind of ho-hum compared to the Big 12?
They move it around. I mean, it's like in Indianapolis sometimes. It's going to be in Madison Square Garden in a few years.
Yeah.
But no, it... I've never been. I've just talked to other media guys who do it, who mm-hmm. cover that tournament. And because Kansas City, like, if you've never been down there, it's like Vegas. I mean, you literally can just carry your beers around, and there's just a plethora of bars, and it's right across the street. It's the perfect setup for a conference tournament. Like, you can't create a better one.
You can leave the Sprint Center, walk across the street into their outdoor area, whatever they call that thing.
Yeah.
With a beer, watch the game on a big screen, and you're doing that within 30 seconds of leaving.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's fantastic.
It's perfect.
I'll never forget last year after Iowa State won the championship. I was admittedly half-assing work because I wanted to go and have beers with everybody. So Bloom and I got everything posted. We went and dropped our stuff off at the hotel, and we walked into the power and light area, you know, the opening where the big TV is. And I mean, I've never seen so many drunken clone fans, and they're like dancing around and doing cartwheels and singing. And I mean, unbelievable.
You couldn't even move.
No.
That's probably fun for you, because I've seen you at work in Hilton Coliseum, and everybody knows you. I mean, I go talk to him before the game or at halftime or whatever, and I'll say one or two things, And then boom, someone shimmies up, Chris, love the show, man. And then they leave. And then I'm like, so anyway, Chris, what's going on? I mean, it's like a constant flow.
Well, it's not even, it's more like where my seats are.
It's You're like accessible.
Everybody's got to walk by there.
You're accessible.
So it's not even that many people know me. It's the people who do know me want to come by and say hi.
Yeah.
So do you even buy drinks for yourself at the Big 12, or people just buying you drinks all the time?
I buy my own drinks.
Well, I mean, you're rich now, so you should be paying people just back for all the drinks.
Why is this your rich crap stuff?
We need to have we need to have Brandy make Chris a onesie that says, I am Chris Williams. And then they'll get nothing but free drinks down there.
I did last year afterwards. Man, I met up with a couple of kids. One of them was still in college, and we pretty much closed down the Assless Chaps Cowboy Bar.
I was with you.
Yeah, but you left. You eventually left.
No, I showed up late. I didn't get there. I didn't meet you till like midnight.
That was it.
And we closed it down.
That
and we
was
waited
it.
In
you
the
showed
cold
up
for
late.
A taxi.
Yeah.
Assless that was Chaps. That's great.
You ever go to that bar?
Parmite?
Yeah.
I know where it is. I've seen the sign, big sign they've got.
That's my go-to.
That reminds me of a story, by the way. I'm going to digress from basketball just for a second because this was a great story. But I was in – so my mother's very conservative. And we were in Chicago. This was quite a few years ago. And we were near the Chicago River. I think we were thinking about taking a boat tour or whatever, and went into a restaurant. I think it was called Houlihan's, I believe. Not sure if it's still there. But Houlihan's was was on the bottom floor of a hotel. And we go into this restaurant. It's not very crowded at all. We get a table and sit down. Like within 15 minutes of sitting down, we start seeing some strange people entering the restaurant. And saw a guy come into the restaurant like completely dressed in scuba gear. This is in the middle of Chicago.
This is interesting.
We saw a guy walk in that had essentially assless chaps on, you know, like with the butt cheek showing, the
like
whole deal.
Hairy ass?
Yeah. And just like one after another. And it was very obvious very quickly to me that there were a bunch of homosexual males filing into this restaurant.
It happens.
And pretty soon there was 20, 30 of them all dressed up in their get-ups and stuff. And the look on my mother's face was pretty priceless.
And this was how many years ago?
Oh, man. This was probably 12 years ago.
Yeah, so it's not nearly as
accepted
as it is today.
So anyway, eventually we asked the waitress, like, what's going on? Because I was just curious, like, what's going on? The hotel was hosting the International Men of Leather convention.
Adam, you go to that, don't you?
No, I just get the magazines.
Yeah, I'm sure they do have a magazine. So that was fascinating for a young Mark Charter.
Men of Leather.
International Men of Leather.
That's a good story.
I believe I did Google it, and there is a website and photos and all sorts of stuff.
Hey, I just think you brought up an interesting restaurant. There's a place I found down in Kansas City last year, and I'm going to try and hit it up again this year. It's right around – it's in between – my hotel, which I got to figure out what hotel I stay in. I forget what it's called, but I think it's like the Crown Plaza or whatever. It's in between my hotel and the Sprint Center. It's called the Peanut.
Okay.
It's outstanding. If it's nice out,
yeah.
You like they open it up. It's like an open air restaurant. I mean, it's like a patio, but it's unbelievable. We got to go there and have a beer.
Do you stay where the team stays?
No, they stay at the Marriott. Okay. I stay at...
Has the team stayed there for a long, long time, where they stay?
Or yeah, pretty much all the teams stay there.
Okay, so we have stayed there before. That's connected to Crown Plaza. That's where that's connected to. Speaking of restaurants, I'll give a shout-out to anyone that's been down there and wants to be around where the team is. And they have kids. Even if you don't have kids, this would be a cool restaurant to go to. But there's a place down there called Fritz's. And it's
Fritz's?
Fritz's. And okay. It's in the Crown Plaza. You'd love this, too, by the way. You see it from the outside because it's train decor. It's all about trains. They got some model trains, and like right outside, it kind of looks like Thomas. And inside, so you go and you waiter comes over and takes your order. Then up above you on the ceiling, there's a train track. And when your food's ready, a train brings your food out up above your heads, goes like through a tunnel.
That's outstanding.
Comes to your table and drops the food, and then it lowers down to your table.
No way.
Kids love it, dude.
I'd love that.
Love it. Yeah. Fritz's. It's in the Crown Plaza if you're going down to Kansas City.
I stay at the Sheraton.
Check it out.
I just looked it up.
The Sheraton.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And by the way, Fritz's owes me a free burger when I come down there.
I think I'm going to do on Sports Fanatics tomorrow, I think I'm going to dedicate a half hour to the show on people calling in and telling Kansas City Big 12 tournament stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just like what to do. And because I guarantee you that the following down there is going to be like last year was hopping on Thursday. I bet it's twice as much this year.
By the way, too, we don't know when Iowa State's going to play, but I'm going to put this out. I know we have some loyal listeners to this podcast.
Yes.
I will be offering more money on the site soon, by the way. People love that when they get a chance to predict scores.
They do.
Nobody gets it right, but hey, it's still fun. So I'm going to be doing that. But what I want to do, I actually have an intention of doing this.
Okay.
I would like to designate a place at Power and Light for anyone that's down there, anyone that's listening to this next week.
Oh, like we should do a tweet
up. And meet up, and I'm willing to buy drinks for listeners of this that want to come out and meet me, and if Chris wants to be there and Gray.
No, let's do a tweet up.
I think it would be kind of fun.
What's a tweet up?
Oh, it's
I love this idea, by the way.
Yeah.
Have you heard of a tweet up, Mark?
Well, it's on Twitter. It's Twitter based. And
yeah, so it's what you do is you create like a hashtag. There's a group of NASCAR riders who do this for every race they go to. They'll do a tweet up like 3 hours before the race, and like their followers come and they can hang out, and it's just a social gathering.
Yeah.
So what you do is we've got like 12,000 followers on the Fanatic one, and I've got a lot of followers. And what you do is you
show off.
You create this hashtag, and people, it's like CF tweet up KC 2015 or whatever, and we put a time, a place, and you all just meet there.
So, if you're listening, follow me at Iowa Real Estate. It has nothing to do with sports, obviously. At Iowa Real Estate, they're probably already following Chris. M. Williams.
Part of this makes me want Iowa State to lose on Saturday.
No.
Because the 4-5 game is great. It's at 11.
Yeah.
And then, I'm done working by like 5 or 6.
We don't want the momentum lost, though. You got to take one for the team.
But like when they play at 8, it sucks. Like I don't get done working until the bars are closed.
I know.
And you can't go drink beforehand. Like we could go get a nice little drink.
Yeah, but you can come shake some hands, kiss some babies before the game. You could do that.
But I'm going to be on the air from 4 to 7.
Well, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
If nothing else, even though we're not the celebrities of this rig,
it doesn't matter.
Gray and I can go meet some people.
No, I want to join you guys.
We'll figure it out.
All right.
We'll figure it out. So, yeah, if you're a listener and want to...
That's a great idea.
And you will be in Kansas City, come hang out. Have a beer with us. I'll buy. And we'll have fun.
I should even...
That sounds great.
Part of me wants to bring a recorder and interview like loyal fanatics who are drunk and put it on the podcast.
That's a fantastic idea as well.
What's your prediction today? Well, I think Johnny Orr is going to get it done today out there. All right. You guys want to play a game? I want to play a game with you.
Yeah, let's play a game.
This game is better than Say What?
Say What?
This one's related to this podcast. All right. Should I alternate these terms? Because we're going to do word association. Iowa State related terms.
Okay.
I'm going to throw one out. I just want a one word or two word response from you. Top of mind, first thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
Should I give you guys the same word and let you each answer or alternate these?
We could do that.
All right. Well, I'll give you the same
Whatever word. You think is the best.
All right. So be prepared.
Make it like really random. Be like, Adam, word. Chris, word.
Okay. All right. We'll go with Chris first. Ready?
Ready.
Top of mind. It's got to be quick.
Top of mind.
No thinking. All right. Hoiberg.
Dreamy.
Okay. I like that one. Chris. Hampton.
Bitch.
Okay. Gray. Big 12 tourney.
Drunk.
Okay.
That's what I would have gone with.
Yeah.
Chris. Bowl games.
Non-existent.
All right.
Oh, jeez.
I gotta keep track of my words here. Okay, so we did this. Okay, Gray, Pollard. Way too long.
Yeah,
come on, Gray.
Chris Pollard.
Genius.
Back to Gray.
Sorry, that
Pollard.
Greatness.
Jeez. Obviously, Gray wants season tickets.
I want to explain that when we're done, by the way, because a lot of people won't get it.
Gray, transfers.
Love them.
Chris, pain players.
Happens all the time.
Okay. Gray, quarterback.
Steel Jantz.
Yeah. Williams, boosters.
Pain in the ass.
Okay. Gray, same word. Boosters.
Needed.
Oh.
Chris, women's basketball.
Love it.
Gray, Psy.
Kids love them.
Chris,
Hilton. Magic.
Gray, last one.
Cat.
Marcus Fizer.
Beast.
Beast. I think we did a pretty nice job.
Other than Gray pausing for 10 seconds on Pollard, you guys did good.
I had nothing on Pollard.
What did you wanted to make a point?
No, like, because there are Pollard, I don't want to call them haters out there, but the reason I said genius is far more than just like coaching hires and stuff like that. It's just like if you know some of the inner stuff, like the guy's creativity to get facilities to Iowa State and his way of budgeting and all that stuff, that's where that comes from. Like, he is a shrewd businessman.
Yeah, I agree in that. And he has something to do with this, clearly. I think they've got a great team up there.
Yeah.
But the way that they have interacted with fans has been brilliant.
Absolutely.
And by that, I mean
the tailgate tour.
Movie nights, tailgate tours, the event at Hilton, the Psy's House of Trivia, which might have been a long time. But
no, that was
all
that came around.
All of those things have made people embrace Iowa State without caring about the product on the field, which is really smart.
Yeah, I mean, think about that. Think about now, just like when you walk around Des Moines, how many more Iowa State shirts and stuff you see than 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Johnston. My kids go to Johnston. When I grew up, I was one of maybe two kids that cheered for Iowa State in my class. Now Jake, he has more Iowa State fans in his class. It's unbelievable, the difference. We're talking 20 years.
Yeah. And Pollard, like, I mean, the reach that guy's had, I mean, I was just kind of starting my career when he got hired. I was still a student, but I did a one-on-one interview with him. I'll never forget. We'd just been hired. I didn't know who he was. I had no idea, like, the significance of interviewing an athletic director. For all I knew, he's just some guy who's in charge now. And he was the first person. And this is why I give him so much credit. He was the first person to attempt, because it's still not done yet, but to change the Iowa State culture.
Yeah.
The acceptance of being mediocre. Mm-hmm. He was when he hung up that damn banner or the billboard in Iowa City.
Yeah.
That's a bold move.
Yeah.
Think about how much publicity Iowa State got because of that. And that, when I say genius, it's not like, oh, this guy, when it comes to coaching hires, he's this. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying this guy, like, if you're thinking of something, he's thought about it 5 months ago. Like, he's a very bright man in that sense.
I'm wondering what, if you could get inside Leith's brain and say, what would it take to have to replace Jamie Pollard? Because it isn't related to football wins. I mean, that's going to be, okay, we got to hire another coach again.
Well,
but they look at how many season tickets are we selling in football. It's huge. How many basketball sold out? I called the other day because I wanted to inquire about basketball season tickets, and I don't say this to brag, but this is making a point. I asked about joining them at the director's level, which is their highest level. It's $12,500 a year, plus tickets, all the other thing. They don't have tickets. You know, I'm basically saying, like, I'm thinking about joining at your highest level, and I'd get a football parking pass, and I'd get, you know, season tickets. Basketball, they told me to sit and spin. Basically. So we're set when it comes to basketball.
Yes.
They don't have enough. I said, so even if I join at that level, you're not going to bump someone that's in at $100? And they're like, no. I mean, they're set at basketball. They need a bigger arena, frankly, for basketball, and they won't ever do that. But we're not there yet. I agreed with your point, because nobody ever calls USC the Bruins, you know? Mm-hmm. But we still get Hawks. People don't know Iowa State. Are they the Cyclones? Are they the Hawks? So we haven't arrived the way that we probably need to, but I think we're on the right
absolutely
road to get there.
And the thing about Jamie, too, is like, and this is why, while I didn't necessarily agree with how he handled the Oklahoma State deal when he killed the refs and Rhodes, I wasn't crazy about it or the tone of it, but I respected it because it's like nobody's ever going to stick up for Iowa State. Like, if you're not going to fight for yourself, and like, to me, that what that was Jamie saying, you know what, damn it, like, we're going to stand up to, we're going to say what we believe. And again, I it's kind of kind of like whatever. Like I didn't really care about his message, but when it comes to genius, Jamie Pollard's message there, and this is just my belief, it went way beyond, oh, we think we got screwed on a call. And it was more of, you know, a way to...
It was the equivalent of a coach getting an intentional technical foul.
Yeah, exactly.
To rally the troops.
Exactly.
That's what it was.
And it worked.
Because he doesn't expect that the calls on the field will literally change. I mean, no. You hope that they do, but it's kind of like, let's at least make them aware that we know and that we're pissed about it.
Yeah.
And maybe something will start to change. But I agree.
The only way that he would ever be ousted... And I don't is if like something bad were to happen with him and Fred, like the Kale Sanderson. Deer. Yeah. If that would happen in bad, and I don't even know the nuances of that, so it's probably not even fair for me to go there. But like if Fred would leave for college basketball,
if you would have left and taken the Minnesota job,
that would be a problem.
That would be a very big problem. I'd help Jamie pack.
That would be a problem.
Minnesota Timberwolves?
No, Gophers.
Oh, okay, I'm like, yeah, because Timberwolves. Who's going to hold that against
NBA,
Pollard?
You can't.
No, NBA, whatever. I mean, it is what it is.
There's no such thing in life as a sure thing. But, okay, here's your sure thing. Fred Hoiberg is never leaving Iowa State for a basketball program that's a college basketball program. It's not going to happen.
I don't think it will now.
I think there was a point
in time where it could have happened, but I think we're way beyond that now.
Dude, he's just too much of an institution to do it. We would get to the point where if we had to match another college offer, we would do it. We would find a way. I don't care what they say. We would do it. You know, Pollard has the phone number on speed dial of a lot of people that are rich in Central Iowa. He just does.
That's one problem that Iowa State's always had. We don't have enough rich people.
But there's more than you think. Yeah. I just, you know, look at the roster of everybody. It's available online. I was looking at the other day. Look at the roster of people that are paying $12,500 a year to be part of something and not even guaranteed tickets. There's a lot of those names on there. There are a lot of people on that list with millions and millions of dollars.
Here's the thing.
If push came to shove, we're going to lose Fred to Kentucky unless we can pay him another $1 million a year. They would get that $1 million a year.
They would get that, but I don't think it's going to be a money-driven decision.
But why else would he leave? The pro, I understand. We're not talking about the pro.
No,
the college.
I don't think he would leave for another college now. But again, I think 3 years ago, maybe. But now, I mean, it's so established here. Because the thing is, Fred loves Ames, and Fred loves what he's doing here, and he loves being with his family, but he wants to win, too.
Yeah.
And I think now that he's... You know,
yeah.
There's an establishment here.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, who knows, though? Like, what if Coach K would retire and Duke would call him? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's total hypothetical, but I agree with you. I don't think he would ever leave.
I don't see him doing it because whether people understood it or not, he would suddenly adopt a traitor mentality to a lot of people.
Kind of like how a lot of people feel about Kale.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
and Fred is a completely unique story to Iowa State. There is no other Fred Hoiberg situation anywhere in college coaching right now. He's just one of a kind. Ball boy, played there, hero coach there, you know, wife from there, all of that stuff. There's nothing else
Family,
like that.
In-laws.
Yeah, there's nothing else like that. He's in the perfect situation, and unfortunately, he won't be the coach for 30 years. He just won't, frankly. He's a male. He'll probably be dead by then. But, you know, it'd be nice. I'm just saying, I don't understand why the talk is always about him. Well, eventually he'll go to the NBA. I don't understand why the talk is never, why can't he be Coach K? Why can't he be here forever? What is wrong with that?
This is my analysis on Fred's future. I think that, you're going to keep hearing the NBA talk, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
He very well could leave.
Yeah.
But I think, like, if he were to talk to, let's just, the Bulls, you know, because that rumor was out there last week, I think it'd be very easy for him to talk to these people, but I think it'd be very difficult to actually do it.
Yeah.
And leave behind what he's created and helped build back up. And, you know, it's been his love his entire life.
The grass does look greener sometimes, but I equate it to marriage. I mean, so many people would be like, dude, that guy could do so much better. You know, when's it going to come time for him to leave and find something else? And the reality is that guy might be thinking, dude, I'm never leaving my wife. I love her. I'm going to stay here forever.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Fred's thinking that. And it'd be nice if he came out and said, I'm never leaving. But he'll never do that, obviously. Yeah. But that would be nice.
I think the longer he's here, too, the less likely chance he'll leave. because then he starts getting into, could he become a Coach K? Could he become a Jim Boeheim?
Mm-hmm.
Jim Boeheim's the one I always look at. You know, maybe Syracuse maybe doesn't have the, they're not like Duke or North Carolina before him. He kind of built it up. Mm-hmm. Now he's just there forever. Jim Boeheim could have left and taken an NBA job.
Tom Izzo, another example.
Yeah.
You know, I think the problem is the difference with those guys and Fred is age. They're a lot older than Fred, so people don't talk about them in the same way because they've gotten past the hump and now they're established.
Mm-hmm.
If Fred was at Iowa State for 15 years, and he's been there, what, five already? So I think he gets to 10 pretty easy, especially with the age of his children. If he gets to 10, I think that talk dies down a little bit. It's like, well, maybe he's fine at Iowa State.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, professional goals.
Yeah.
I mean, we all have them in our own careers.
And
like, what does he want to do? Is his goal to win an NBA title? Is his goal to take Iowa State to a Final Four? Is his goal to, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I do know, like, Fred is very sensitive, and he talks about this all the time. I do wonder how he would do with, like, media in Chicago or... Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, he would be very good, but like, if you think there's a lot of pressure here.
He did a great interview with Murph and Andy the other day.
I heard that. He did.
They go, how you doing, Fred? And he goes, I feel like crap.
Yeah.
That was his answer.
Yeah, and
isn't
he's
it nice
very
to,
good.
Isn't it nice to know, though, that he doesn't go home and sleep well after a loss?
Yeah.
Like, you want a coach
and
that's stewing over
that's,
it.
That's the thing. Like, he's like that. So if you have 82 games and you're...
See,
you've got whatever media we have here,
mm-hmm.
times it by 20, and they're 50 times harder on you.
And here's the thing about these D-bags on Twitter and Facebook that tweet at players and stuff, and they're emotional after loss. And mm-hmm. I get it. I'm emotional after loss, too. But the loss drives Fred Hoiberg and the players way more crazy than
absolutely.
As a fan. They're way more competitive. They have more invested into it. So, like you said, when they lose, they don't get sleep over it. All right, they don't get on Twitter and tweet for an hour and then go to bed and sleep fine. It drives them crazy until the next game.
Well, and after the which game was it last Saturday?
Kansas State.
Yeah. So Monte allegedly tweeted something.
I saw it. Yeah.
About like you're still gonna pay to see us play or something like that. And you know we were on our show on Monday, and you know the immediate outcry was, oh, how dare he, and all that.
What?
And I'm thinking to my, I said this. It's like when you've got, you think Monte just got in the locker room and said, I'm gonna mother F the fans on Twitter? No, he's getting hammered.
Yeah.
You know, this is a 19-year-old dude getting hammered by grown men on this social media, like, you know, cut him some slack. He put out an unfortunate tweet and he deleted it immediately.
Here's a tip too, and this came to light big time this week with all the Kurt Schilling nonsense with people essentially saying they would rape his daughter.
Yeah.
That's what they were
saying. Absolutely, that's what they were saying.
So he was in his right to do what he did. And I was happy to hear that the people that tweeted that in a lot of instances got kicked out of school, lost their jobs, etc. Okay, so I'm going to give everyone that's listening to this the benefit of the doubt that nobody listening to this is one of those people that's tweeting directly at players, telling them they suck or whatever. In general, when it comes to social media, one, you are responsible for what you say. Two, free speech is not free. There's a cost to what we say in life. But three, if you would not literally say it to somebody's face, don't say it online. It pisses me off. I tweet all the time. Not all the time, but I tweet a lot. I put a lot of stuff on Facebook. And I ask myself, would I say this, especially if I'm tweeting about somebody, if I was having a coffee with them, would I say this to them? And if the answer is no, then I don't want to put it on Twitter, because you got to be able to defend that. And the day will come when one of these people, Monte Morris or whatever, you run into him in the hotel lobby. It's like, you're the jackass that said this. Are you going to say like, yeah, I meant it and here's why? Are you going to say, oh, you know, I was just joking, man, just whatever. Mm-hmm. So people get so bold behind an avatar. Like I've said on Cycle Fanatic, people are essentially able to hide behind a screen name for the most part, and they feel bravery to be able to say whatever they want to do. But that stuff pisses me off, especially when yes, they're men, they're over the age of 18, but these guys are still relatively young, and they're trying their best.
Yeah, and that's like killing Monte for one tweet. I think he's 19. He may be 20.
It wasn't even a bad tweet.
I know, it wasn't even... in my ideal, it's like, dude, think about how much dumb shit I just cussed.
Yeah.
Think about how much.
Knuckles.
Yeah.
Put a dollar in the swear jar.
Think about how much dumb stuff we did. Every one of us when we were. And like.
I'm really glad I couldn't tweet when I was that age.
And that's what Jake Sullivan. I was interviewing him about it on Monday. And he said the same thing. And Jake Sullivan, you know, he's the golden boy. He's from around here. He said the same thing. It's a darn good thing I didn't have that at my disposal.
Yeah.
And. He's right. I think if most athletes would be honest, that's how it. These guys, today's athlete has it. Sure, they have it great because they're getting a lot of perks that those guys 20 years ago didn't have. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot more difficult to be mentally sharp day in and day out now than it was 20 years ago.
And I think in Monte's case, I don't think Monte was actually getting a lot of criticism. He was seeing it towards George and a couple other guys.
Yeah.
And what people fail to realize is those guys, they're brothers. I mean, that's no different than me and my brother, G.R. Ryan. They see these guys every day. They battle with them. I mean, and they've known these guys for 2, 3, 4 years. You call my brother JR a certain name, I'm going to tell you to go fly a kite, and I'm going to come back at you. So, what Monte said, I had no problem
JR
with.
JR is kind of a douche.
He is. I mean, he's a little bit of a douche, but I could call him a douche, and you can't. There's a difference.
Flying kites is fun. Can I go do that?
Yeah. I mean,
I love JR.
There's a difference between me calling my brother a D-bag and someone else.
Yeah.
You know, there just is. And personally, I didn't think he needed to delete what he said. I mean, the paying money, whatever.
But it's true.
You understood his point.
Yeah.
So, you know, stand up for your teammates, Monte. No problem. Keep doing it, buddy.
And I'll back Monte, too. He's such a good kid.
Yeah.
Like, this is not a kid with a bad reputation or who's has a history of being disrespectful or anything like that. He was fired up. He was, like you said, Adam, very emotional after a tough loss. Move on with it. This leads me into – I told you I wanted to hit on this. This is away from Iowa State, but it's on the same topic of social media. So, I'm rolling through Facebook this morning. And I followed the Des Moines Register on Facebook. And Gray's getting up to go and take a pee. What is he, like a 60-year-old man?
Right in the middle of your
story. Unbelievable.
Dude, I'm still here listening.
Okay. So, you know, on Des Moines Register, they'll post, like, their stories on Facebook, and it'll come up through your feed.
Yep.
And one of them was like, hey, you know, the girl from Ankeny who's on American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
She's, like, a high schooler.
Yeah.
And the headline is... you know, girl from Ankeny makes final 24 or 40 or whatever.
Yeah.
Are you rooting for her?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even read the story. I was just thinking to myself, this is very predictable.
Yeah.
I'm going to go through and read the comments.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of vile comments against this, I'm just guessing, 16-year-old girl.
Yeah.
From, like, if you live here, why wouldn't you be rooting for a girl from Ankeny? You know what I mean? And these jackasses go on and are killing this girl. Like, I can't fathom why people would do that.
Dude, you're just at the beginning of your journey, though. The fact that you've had this radio show is, a real radio show, not this podcast. Although the podcast is better. But, hey, that's just my opinion.
I would agree.
But you are... you know, even me to a certain extent. Okay, so I'm raising my public profile in the world of real estate. Okay, yeah. More signs in yards, more radio ads, soon to be TV, all of that stuff. And when people see that, or they see you've got a TV show or whatever, they're going to start to take shots. And those shots generally are generated from jealousy at its root. They wish that they were you, made your money, whatever the case is, and they'll take shots. But the downside to social media, the upside is we can connect super easy. We can say, hey, let's meet up for a beer to Cyclone fans, and they'll come do it. That's awesome. The downside is we have become very, very uncivil to each other. And I've had experiences. I've been doing real estate for 10 years. I've had several anonymous emails or letters saying you're a no talent ass clown and you suck and I'm tired of seeing your face or whatever it is.
Sounds like my life.
And you just roll with it.
Heather Osby sent those to you.
Probably. You just roll with it. And I guarantee you, Chris, that you'll get more and more of this, especially from Hawk fans, frankly.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things that sucks is we've deluded ourselves and convinced ourselves of the phrase, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Words can hurt, man.
Absolutely, they can.
Words can hurt. And it's easy for me to say, okay, that person's jealous or whatever. But if they have some type of a point or they said something about, you look stupid on your sign or whatever the case is, a little bit of that sticks with you. It always does. And that's what the person wants. But you got to ask yourself, why are they doing it? And if you had a chance to sit down again for a coffee with that person, say, why did you send that to me? I guarantee you after 15 minutes, you'd probably feel differently about that person. And you'd probably come to understand that their life blows or their wife left them or whatever. So whenever that stuff comes up, you're initially hurt by it or you're initially taken back, but then you ask yourself, what type of person would say that?
That's what I try and do.
And that's a person that's probably hurting for one reason or another. And if you remind yourself of that, it's a little bit easier to take.
I usually try and do that. Like if there's somebody on our board, I don't care what people say on other boards, but like if I notice that there's like four or five or whoever is really anti Chris Williams on our board, I usually send them a message and just say, hey, you know, like, did I do something to you? Because they just don't like my work. That's fine. I don't care. It's not for everybody. I totally get that.
Or they know you as the radio guy. But you know what's good ammo then? Like when you're tweeting them, tweet them a picture of you holding your daughter.
Yeah.
You know, because
these
people don't look at us as humans. They're like, oh, he's a brand or he's a radio host. Like, okay, look at the picture of me smiling with my 8-month-old daughter and my 4-year-old boy hanging out with my family. And then tell me the same thing that you just did. I'm just a guy trying to earn a living for my family.
No talent, ass clown.
Whatever the case is. And, you know, frankly, to get
ahead
of...
Have you seen that movie now?
No.
No, I said it when you were taking a leak.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No. So, once again, he missed the best part of our show, but whatever.
Are you really... Is your bladder in that bad of shape? How old are you? 29?
Dude, here's the new plan.
Seriously, are you 29?
Yeah, I'm 29.
You really, like, we were at 52 minutes in the podcast. You can't wait for 8 minutes.
I drank two of these waters, all right? 20 ounces, so 40 ounces of water.
Your bladder seriously cannot wait 10 minutes.
It could have, but
Here's the new plan. I usually get here a few minutes early. We're going to start treating him exactly like I treat my 4-year-old boy, okay? Before we leave for the mall, what do I say to him?
You got to go potty, bud?
You guys can
all right, go ahead. No, Daddy, I don't have to go potty. Well, you know, why don't we try? Why don't we just go in there and try? And then ultimately, he does. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take Adam into the bathroom. I'm going to help him with his pants. I'm going to pull him down, and I'm just going to stand there and wait till he's done.
And then I'm going to snap a photo.
Yeah, and we're going to say, "Go ahead and give it a try, buddy."
Have you guys seen Liar Liar? The judge asks if he can hold it.
The pen is blue.
I can't hold it, but I hear it, you know, causes issues.
Yeah.
Could I have hold it? Sure. I didn't want to though. All right.
The pen is blue.
All right, we got 4 minutes. I want to pub the charity event on Saturday.
Yeah.
You guys are coming. I have soft verbals from each of you on Saturday night in Bondurant. Hair's coming off.
I don't get visit elsewhere.
I don't get harder until it's time to perform. So you get a soft verbal.
It's a soft verbal at this point, but it's a
right now.
I'm going to tweet out again later tonight. It's all over the place. It's on our forums. I put it on Twitter like 5 times. But I'm taking donations to shave my head. My goal was $1,000. We raised over $10,000 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Last year we were not good. We raised like $390, which I was embarrassed of.
How did you go from $10,000 to $390?
Everybody, and this is what happens. And I've tried to come up with creative ways to get people to donate. The first year was like this huge deal.
Yeah.
The second year people were like, "Don't ask for my money again." Mm. This year, KXNO's let me promote it a little bit, so we're doing a little bit better. But I mean, we need to get to at least $1,000. Yeah. I mean, with as many freaking people as we're reaching, I mean, the fact that I only have like 15 donations or something at this point. So we gotta get that up. I want to get to at least $1,000. And everything that we raise is matched by the Loshi family in Bondurant. So it's a cool event. It's one of my favorite nights of the year. So I'm going to shave my head at 5, or I'm not shaving it. The little girl will. Mm. And then we're going to I'm gonna have me some. They got Bush Light on tap.
Booyah.
At Founders.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm gonna watch the clone game there. Jared's gonna do our game chat for me. And then Rob or Jared will do that. So I'm gonna just enjoy the night.
My tentative plan, one way or another, you'll get some money out of me. I'll plan to bring the checkbook. Do you take checks over there? Credit cards? What do you take?
Checks are fine, or you can just go online and do it. That's easiest.
So here's my...
Unless you need a paper trail.
Let me help you with your donation attempts here as well. So my business started taking off when I started giving more. I crap you not. I always want to say the S word, then I just stop myself.
Yeah. Just do it. It feels good.
So I S you not. So... Okay, if you want a better explanation of that, buy me a coffee out there in Fawcast land. But the reality is, I believe wholeheartedly that if you want to get in this world, give.
Yeah.
You know, the givers are the people who get. And don't give because you want to get, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
But when you give with an open heart and do it for the right reasons, like what you're doing on Saturday, I'm telling you, man, there's no better way to do it. So everybody out there that's listening is like, oh, I could give $25, but I'd rather go buy whatever. Give the $25.
Yeah.
You know?
Or, you know, like I say too, if you're a college kid out there, $5, you know? It's all, you know, just something.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about this charity too, and I get how people can be skeptical of charities. This one's legit. Like, it doesn't have like a CEO making six figures or anything like that. It's a great charity. And my little neighbor girl is the reason I got into this. Her parents are good friends of mine, Ashley's, and she had brain cancer. And she's been fighting that her whole life. She's good now. Like, she's not, she doesn't have cancer anymore, but they're the ones who got us into it. And, you know, they're really just an inspiration to us. Mm-hmm. So like it's a cool, cool deal. It's got a little personal tie in the city of Bondurant. I mean, I can't tell you how awesome it is to live there. We didn't know a single person when we moved to that town. And, you know, I got involved with this, and like the whole town basically turns out for this thing. It's just a cool, cool deal. And yeah, you're going to see little kids running around bald. You're going to see grown women who will shave like their heads.
Yeah.
Like, and it's a really big deal for a 40-year-old woman to shave her head. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's a neat deal. So
I'll go out on a limb because I choose to believe that the people that listen to this, not only are they Iowa State fans, but they're good people. That's what I believe. I also believe that people are connected. So someone out there listening either knows somebody that's looking to sell their house soon, or are them themselves looking to sell their house soon.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm easy to find, markcharter.com. I'm on Twitter, at Iowa Real Estate. My phone number is easy to find. Google my name, you'll find me. Website's markcharter.com. If anybody contacts me before your event to even set a meeting to sell their house, so they have from when you post this, which will be soon, through Saturday night,
mm-hmm,
to call me, text me, email me and say, Mark, come meet with me. We're thinking about selling your house. If anybody that's listening does this, I will donate $1,000 to your...
Wow, look at this guy.
To your deal. All right. On Saturday.
Boom.
But... not that I don't want to give $1,000 anyway.
No, I get it.
Crowd participation. So if you're out listening to this, think, are we thinking about selling our house? Call me over. We'll have a meeting.
Just a meeting.
And that meeting will generate that donation.
All right. I appreciate that, buddy.
So we're going to see what happens.
We're going to see what happens.
It's on you, cycling fans.
Well, I'm going to get this posted. It's Thursday at 2:00 right now, so it should be up by about 2:30 or so.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Thank you, Mark.
You bet.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, bet.
Adam.
Thanks, bud.
Have a nice weekend.
You too.
Do you have to go pee?
No, I'm good.
You need to go
again? You good, buddy?
I got another 10 minutes.
Okay, we'll see.
Podcast listeners, thank you very much. We appreciate it. We hope you enjoyed today's show, even with the absence of Brandy.
Oh, wait. We got to do a word of the week.
Oh.
Almost.
Wow.
Whoa.
Twice in a row.
What was that?
We just blew out the mic. It's okay, though.
I don't know how to spell this word, but I've heard it, and I do know what it means. The word of the week is dilettante.
What?
Dilettante.
This word bothers you, the word dilettante?
Yeah, because you hear it all the time, and then I always forget what it means.
I've never even heard the word.
A dilettante would be somebody that dabbles in something but isn't all that skilled at it.
Like me in a podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. So Adam's
a dilettante.
Adam would be a dilettante in the world of podcasts and radio. So it's somebody that thinks they know everything, but doesn't. So you're on your own with the spelling of that one. It's like dilettante, something close to that, dilettante. And last week we didn't have a word of the week. If we did have one, it would have been lady boner, but we didn't have one. So
lady boner would have been a good one.
So that one doesn't exist.
Dilettante. All right.
This week, and stay tuned for our tweet up.
Yes, tweet up coming up on Kansas City. Maybe we should just plan on doing that. Well, we'll figure it out. We'll wait and see how the clones do. Thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate it. So long.
Go Cyclones.